I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. Privilege this next interview was for me, Alanis Obomsawin. She is celebrating, I believe this year, her 85th birthday and 50th film. Our People Will Be Healed premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival. And it is a film like I have not ever seen before. It's about oppression. It's about colonialism. It's about the residential school systems. It's about the trouble we have with education and about how we have to look at the future in a different way. It's about how we need to acknowledge life and get involved and all these things, but told in such a beautiful, brilliant, and hopeful way. Alanis doesn't leave too many stones unturned here about our Canadian history. And for her, education, as she says, quote, my first ambition is to educate. And as she says in the interview, for her, hope is too small of a word. How brilliant is that? So you're going to want to listen in on this one-of-a-lifetime interview, certainly for me, but also you're going to want to get out to see the film, Our People Will Be Healed. Coming right up, the interview with Alanis. Don't forget davidpecklive.com for more information about my writing and speaking. Also face2facelive.ca for a host of interviews there. And we've focused on the Toronto International Film Festival this year and have had an absolutely marvelous and exhausting time. And also don't forget rabble.ca for more information too about writing and podcasting and blogging around issues that matter. Alanis Obomsawin coming right up talking about Our People Will Be Healed. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a very special guest today. Alanis Obomsawin is here with us today to talk about her new film at the Toronto International Film Festival called Our People Will Be Healed. Thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So, am I right? Is this your 50th film?
Yes.
So, and I think I'm pretty sure you're the only 85-year-old filmmaker that I've ever met.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
So, what has kept you going for this many years, but this many films, this story, this voice, this history that you are compelled to share with others?
It really started with education. You know, as a young person, I had a lot of trouble with the kind of education that was being done at that time, especially concerning the history of this country and really oppressing our people through these books who were really designed to create hate towards our people for a very long time, for many generations. And these are the reasons why I somehow had to find a way to influence changes in terms of what was being given in terms of education to Canadians in general. but also really oppressing our people through it.
Do you think that hate still exists in a?
I think it's much less. I think it's changing totally for the opposite. There's an ear that I never felt before that exists now in this country, and that's from Canadians at large. And there's a very incredible effort to change these books and to include as part of the curriculum all across the country about the history of our people, the different nations, the languages, the traditions. And it's just, I never thought I'd live long enough to see this. It's such a gift for me.
Such a gift for you. Oh, yes. That's wonderful. Well, I would argue that you've been a part of that happening. You've been a part of the conversation, but the history of your, the narrative thread through 50 films.
Yes.
The consistency and the metaphor and the passionate commitment.
Yes.
I think I read somewhere that your first ambition was to, quote, educate.
Yes.
Is that the silver bullet for you?
Yes, because I felt I was a very young person and I was thinking, what could I do,
you know? Right.
And I felt that the children...
What could I do? 50 films later.
I felt that the children had to hear another story. That's what really drove me. To eventually get into the classroom and not only telling the children something else, but to influence the people in power to make their changes in what they were saying and educating people on who we were.
There's a beautiful moment in the film where... there's a scene, so much of it is, the thread is education. It's around Norway House, a school about 450 kilometers north of Winnipeg, I understand. So we're pretty remote.
I don't know in kilometers, but I think it's 800 miles.
So
it's probably...
800 miles, so that's way... that's a long way away, let's put it that way. Yeah. So they're very remote. But there's a teacher telling a story and asks the question of the kids, what's a treaty?
Yes. Can you imagine? It's wonderful because people have no clue about treaty times or what is a treaty, how they were done. And there's a film that I made that's called Trick or Treaty. I don't know if you ever saw it.
I have not seen it.
You should look at that.
I will.
And it's very important for teaching at the classroom level what is a treaty and how they were done and the cheating and the lies that exist concerning a lot of the treaties is very important to understand and to know. And I think in these last few years, especially I would say the last 5 years, it's of course the reconciliation has helped an awful lot to make people aware of what the true history is. And so as a result, I find that Canadians across the country are in general very concerned and want to see justice, and it's a very different time.
Do you know what's so, Alanise, what's so beautiful to me about this community, about the film, but about this community in particular, and the school, and pretty much everyone that you speak with in the film? Mm-hmm. There's a wisdom here.
Yes.
It's not just a history. It's not just a past. Mm-hmm. There's a real community. It
yes.
seems. Coming out from the radio, I think of the radio announcer.
Yes.
And the intimacy of that. And
yes.
It's really wonderful.
Yes, and the concern for each other. Mm. And even these very young people that I interview, you know, one of them says, oh, I feel so good when I do something for someone else.
Right.
You know,
yes.
That
yes.
is the basic way of thinking there for people of all ages.
So where does that come from?
It comes from the visionary of the leadership, obviously, and the will to make sure that nobody feels outside, that nobody feels excluded.
One of the one of the teachers that's interviewed says something about how we practice inclusion in our schools.
Yes, yes.
Well, wouldn't that be wonderful if that was a motto around the world?
Yes, yes.
With respect to pretty much anything, yeah. Really.
And you know what? Just it's so gratifying, and when the principal says, "Oh, we had a problem, grade 9, the classes were full, and then 10, 11, 12, then it was getting to be empty and absence, and so we had a problem, and we changed it by, we know that young people, teenagers want to sleep in the morning, it's hard to move them.
Right. Yeah.
So the great mind in here that I find, usually if you're late, you're punished for it.
Mm.
You lose good notes and you have a problem with the teachers.
You get the little slip.
Here, yes. Here, she says, we send another bus later at 9 or 9:30 or whatever that is. And we tell the parents, we prefer to have them in late than to not have them at all in the school. And it's working. She said, like last year, she says, we expect to have at least 70 people graduating from grade 12 this year, mm-hmm. whereas before it was like 10, 15. And this is so generous, and it's to serve the young people, not force them like the army, you have to do this, otherwise you...
Right, right. You know, there's a generosity.
Just that alone is incredible.
Well, I think, you know, from a pedagogical perspective, from an educational perspective, my mm-hmm. wife's a teacher, my brother's a principal, there's a real structure and a form, and you've got to fit within it.
Yeah.
And if you step outside of it, you're somewhat abnormal. We don't really know how to attend to you and so on. And it's getting better.
And they're
going to
make you feel it, too.
And they're going to make you feel it.
Yeah. So all this wonderful way of thinking comes out like a flower to me because... And those children, and it's obligatory to take a music course.
Yes.
Then that
is
wonderful.
I love how music
wonderful.
Plays such a role in your family.
And there's these young people, they're 8 years old, you know, it starts at 8, and they're concentrating, and they're so happy to be with other children their age and play, and they want to do it well. Well, that is really the future, because instead of feeling rejected and feeling like committing suicide or becoming an alcoholic or all those things, a lot of young people are saying no to that now.
Right.
And it's very encouraging.
Do you think that, so a treaty is a promise?
Yes.
So we're talking about some pretty serious broken promises from what little that I know, and I know a bit. Is reconciliation, I mean, I guess the big question is reconciliation ever possible, I suppose. But for me, is it
happening.
Really about... It's happening.
Yes.
Well, and I think that's what your film shows.
It's
our
happening.
People will be healed.
Yes.
This is so hopeful, right?
Yes,
there's a dark, deep, disturbing past.
Yeah.
But the splash and ripple effect seems to be growing slowly.
And we have to look at the future in a different way.
Mm.
And with...
Nice.
With inclusion, with love, with gratitude and concern about each other, and the children are really there now, you know, in this community. And one of the teenagers, if I could take this school to Winnipeg, I would. You know, can you imagine? It's just so special.
It was lovely. I also thought it was lovely, and I can't remember his name, but the man who... was taking the young, well, the basically for me the metaphor in the film is the canoe trip.
Yeah,
I mean it's a road movie on the water.
Yes.
It's beautiful, you know. And there's so many symbols and metaphors.
Yeah.
And I know how to canoe a little bit. Learned at a young age. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And there's such a camaraderie there in a community. And and he says, he talks about building trust with these young people.
Yes, exactly.
And then they open. I mean, what are we going to learn there about our political situation? How to parent? How to teach others, it's remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. So is it for you, reconciliation's happening, is it really about trust then? We've got to rebuild
it's
that.
It's certainly basic, it's a basic aspect, it's very important. If you don't trust, you cannot confide, and you cannot feel that you're part of something that is excluding you, you know. So it's very, very healthy. And young people more and more want to find out about their ancestors and the way of thinking and how they survive. And all those young people that march all the way from James Bay to Ottawa to show what they believe and the reconciliation, and they want respect for their people, and it was just incredible.
Is there a sense too that folks, First Nations, Métis, Inuit communities, just want to be heard, like truly heard?
Yeah, that, you know, like this is why they're talking now. You know, there is starting to be trust, and so the government is following in from far, maybe, but more and more, I think it will influence the changing of rules and laws, and especially in learning places.
It's so, I mean, you know, you don't, I guess you've seen a lot in the 50 films and the 85 years and so on, and the history and your experience and what you grew up with respect to education. But to see you, to hear you, to see a film that you've made that is ultimately very hopeful and ending with the Sundance ceremony and so on, buoys my spirits and hopefully means that we really do need to fight back, that we really do need to work towards change, no matter how small.
Everything
it's
counts.
An argument for it, right? Everything counts.
Yes.
Everything matters.
Yeah. Often people say to me, what can I do? What can I do? Well, you know, there's things you can choose. There's a lot of things to do, and find an area that you feel that you would be helpful. Namely, which I always repeat myself, but we have a lot of people on the street, and when you're walking on the street and you see somebody in misery and you want to go across the street and ignore them because it's so, you hate it and it's so awful and it's embarrassing you, instead of that, try to meet the eyes of that person that is in that misery and acknowledge life. Life is sacred, and it's sacred for all people. And, you know, just the way you look at somebody, you can make that person feel like he should drop dead right there. Or you can make that person feel, hey, you are living, and I look up to you.
Validate.
Yes.
And affirm.
Yes.
And ultimately encourage.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
And maybe give money as well.
Yes.
But maybe more importantly, make eye contact.
Yes.
And recognize them.
Recognize life. Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about, there's so many historical lessons in the film, things that I would imagine for young people they would be hearing about for the first time. Tell me a little bit about Betty, Felicia, and Claudette.
Yes.
Such a tragic,
so terrible, and that I guess I dare say that I think it's a coincidence that they're all related. I sure hope that there's not another will there. And Betty, Helen Betty, was very much a student who wanted to become a teacher. And apparently she was so gentle and she was so wonderful and so dedicated to learning. And she has said more than once that if she could graduate, that what she wanted to be was a teacher in her own community. And this is the reason why they named the school after her. And it was just, you know, when I hear people talking to me about her, who knew her, it's so, such a shame to have lost her.
Three relatives.
Yes, yes.
From same family.
Yes.
Two found, one young woman still missing.
Yes. So it's something that we have to live with every day of our lives. And we have to remember these people, and it's not just women, there's a lot of young men also that have disappeared. And we have to be aware of it and do everything we can to change that.
In 1885, the Indian Act outlawed It just seems so insane to me. Yeah. They outlawed the Sundance ceremony. Yeah. I mean, it just it's the stuff of movies.
Yeah.
You just how could that even possibly have been a concern?
They outlaw all ceremonies.
All ceremonies,
not just Sundance.
Not just Sundance.
And the Sundance in particular was attacked in many ways, and it survived because some people who guarded it, and they did it underground.
Right.
And when they were found out, they went to jail. And they put old people, forced labor, and in jail time because of having been part of the Sundance. And at the time, even at the same period, there was a paragraph that if any Native people who gather more than three people at once will go to jail.
Wow.
Because the government was scared that if they gather and they're in large number, they're going to want a revenge and be against the government. So they made these laws to fit their needs.
So going out of their way to completely destroy any kind of community, even a community of three.
Yes. Yes.
As small as that, it's remarkable. It's astounding. Yeah. Horrific, actually.
Yeah.
Deeply tragic. And the implications, the reverberations of that.
Yeah.
For
and the teaching in the classroom with these books that were written by religious people.
Right.
And in it...
This is what's so unsettling.
Yeah. In it saying that any native language, they were calling it, is Satan's
of course it is
voice, you know,
right?
And any tradition, it was really to completely teach other young children that all anything having to do with indigenous people was bad. And
well, there was you interview a woman, an older woman, who said, here we were learning from textbooks where they were calling us savages within the textbooks.
Yeah.
I mean, how utterly absurd.
Yeah.
And then she, you know, sort of jokingly says, no, it's you guys that are the savages.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you hear these kinds of things, it's a shaking of your head in disbelief.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's a fact.
Mm.
And I think another thing is that the Canadians were taught those ideas. And they succeeded in making the country itself, the Canadians, really dislike us and hated us.
Mm.
So it was really designed that way. And
Do you think it was a power thing, purely a power thing?
Yes, they're taking the land, they're developing, they're taking the water, they're doing
just
all the things
that
against nature. And making sure that, look at what they did with the residential schools.
Mm.
It's just unbelievable.
Mm.
And now I'm so thankful that I still live at my age, at 85 years old. I can see the switch, the difference.
Mm.
I can see a lot of Canadians. I travel all the time. And I have a new feeling that Canadians are really listening and are wanting to hear what the reality is and want changes. And at the university level, I've been invited almost every week. I get invitations.
I bet you do.
Yes, they want to develop this new curriculum,
right,
where they are teaching the language, where they are teaching the real history and its inclusion. And to see this, I never thought that this would happen. It's incredible.
So change is possible.
Yes. Definitely.
Even with the history that we're coming out of, there's a reason to. I mean, and that's the way you end the film with the woman speaking about trees pointing upwards, and it's just. I mean, there's so many wonderful connections to raising kids, to teaching, to just walking along the street and making eye contact with somebody, right? It's just, there's, I forget the poet, but I'll think of it in a second, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, I think, who said something about reaching beyond our grasp. And that's kind of what I thought of when I was listening, and the way you cross-cut it with such beautiful images and photography in the film. So we're probably going to have to wrap up, sadly, in a few minutes, but this is about voice for you.
Yes.
It's about your voice, but it's so much more than that, it seems to me. This is about voices, I guess, inclusion, and identity.
Yes.
It's about individuals, but it's about Canadians and there's this global expression here as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about spirit and the heart of people, and looking into your heart and get the best that's out there. And I think we're going someplace. I know we've never been there before. I don't know how to call it. Hope for me is too small a word to say. Yes.
Nice. Yes. That's. I'm getting goosebumps. Look at that. Hope is too small of a word.
Yes. And when you hear children and see children in a classroom that are helping each other, those who are needing special needs, to see another child who's maybe 7 or 8 years old pay attention and do, you know, encounter something with a child who, it's so beautiful, you know.
I can't tell you how thrilled I am that we've had this time together. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Alanis Abamsawin, here talking
so
today
happy.
About her new film, Our People Will Be Healed, at the Toronto International Film Festival. It's been a real pleasure and honor to meet you, actually. Thank you so
much. Thank you.